98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Doug and Wolf.
Giving you inside information on the NFL every week.
Dude, what's happening?
NFL insider John Clayton.
Mom, when's dinner?
Joins Doug and Wolf now. Brought to you by Courtesy Chevrolet, serving the Valley for over 60 years. Number one for a reason. Visit CourtesyChev.com.
Absolutely.
It's still funny, isn't it?
John Clayton, the original Doug and Wolf NFL insider, has just joined us on a Cowbell Friday. Good morning. John, I don't know if you know this. This is going to be very important for you because we're going to let you in on a secret that I think you know, but you might have forgotten. According to Ron Wolfley, he loved and adored his brother Craig, yet one thing he was a little worried about.
No.
That Craig would get ready to hit the streets of Orchard Park on a Friday night listening to Loverboy.
Okay.
And so we play Loverboy now every Friday, every hour of the Doug and Wolf Show. But there's one promise that no one's ever broken. No one has ever gone to Craig and told him the story because Wolf doesn't want Craig to know. Because he feels like that would be disrespectful to his brother.
See, and you could have told me, and I spent 3 hours with him last year on the side, or last week on the sidelines at the Steeler game against the Seahawks. And so we blew that opportunity.
That's exactly right, though, Johnny. Keep the secret, please.
We're trying to keep the secret.
Don't let him know that it's been 13 years we played Loverboy every Friday in honor of him.
Now, does he think he's Loverboy, or is there something else out there?
No, you know what? Honestly, he'd stand there and he'd have on his Jordache jeans and he'd take out his neon comb and he'd brush back his hair in front of the mirror getting ready and he'd be listening to this. Everybody's working for the weekend. Don't tell him, John.
Keeping the secret. Okay, give us the latest. Last night, Thursday Night Football, Jalen Ramsey plays. If you were ranking the Jalen Ramsey sweepstakes, where are the Arizona Cardinals in that sweepstakes?
31, I guess.
Really? Okay.
At the back. Because, I mean, you can see the two teams that are going to be doing it. It's either going to be Philadelphia or it's going to be Kansas City, you know, because they're all in. They've got great quarterbacks. They're thinking Super Bowl. Everything's on the line right now. So those are going to be the two main teams. Seattle's going to test the waters, but they're not going to give up two number ones or anything equivalent to that. But I think that you can see when Andy Reid wants something, he'll pay.
Okay.
So, Johnny, do you think he's going to be traded? Do you think he's going to get paid by the Jaguars? I know the owners, the Jaguars owner came out and said he was willing to pay him. Do you think, or both, do you think, is going to happen with Jalen?
Do you think he's going to get traded? I do. Although, I'll tell you what, I mean, by them winning with Gardner Minshew out there at quarterback and now at 1-2, because you look at this, you trade him and now your defense isn't going to be as good, and that defense had a great game last night, but it's dropped off in talent from the offseason. You know, it's almost more advisable to pay him, but I just think he's going to get traded, and it could come as soon as today.
What's your feeling on that's big. We're going to be talking about that later on today. Ramsey possibly traded today, according to the Doug and Wolf insider, John Clayton. What's your feeling on the starting quarterback situation for the Carolina Panthers? Who's starting against Kyler Murray on Sunday?
Yeah, it's not going to be Cam Newton. I just think that he spent all the time away from practice, and so they're going to have to go back up, and that means it's going to be Kyle Allen making his second start, and so that could be a big drop-off for them. But, I mean, you can see the pressure right now on Ron Rivera. I mean, what he goes five questions into the press conference, and what's everybody going to ask? I don't think they're going to be sitting there saying, hey, so how is Trey Turner doing at guard? No, I think they want to find out about Cam Newton, and the fact that he's not giving answers, I think it says that he's not going to be able to play.
So, Johnny, I was going to ask you about that. Ron Rivera walking out right there. What do you think that means?
I think it means that if they don't have a winning season or have a playoff season, particularly with a new owner that didn't hire him, they're probably going to be changing coaches.
Wow.
And you can see the pressure he was under, too, because remember, I mean, he's now calling the plays on defense. I mean, he's taking that over. And they're playing a little bit more 3-4, and they're not off to a good start.
What are you seeing from the Cardinals? I've actually stuck the neck out. When I thought Cam Newton was starting, that I think this is win number one for Kyler and Kingsbury. What do you think?
It could be. Yeah, I think it has a chance because as long as their offense isn't going to be as good. I mean, yeah, they're going to have Christian McCaffrey, but you know everybody on the Cardinals are going to be ganging up on him. And so, no, I think there's a chance to win in this one if you don't have Cam Newton out there. And, I mean, you can see even Cam Newton, his performance.
Oh, yeah.
Last week he was not very good, and his accuracy is off. The foot injuries really affected his throwing. And, you know, all those years of trying to be that running quarterback that wanted to destroy the person trying to tackle him, I think he's paid a big price.
Johnny, give us the update on the NFC West, of course, and the Seattle Seahawks.
Well, I mean, they snuck out of there in Pittsburgh with a break and got even a bigger break when they find out that Drew Brees was not going to be out there because he got the thumb surgery. And so here it was, you know, they're just putting their defense together. And by the end, the defense is going to be good, but it's not there right now. But because now this will be the week that Ziggy Ansah is starting to play. But, you know, when you replace four starters on your defensive line, there's going to be some gaps, giving up big plays and mistakes and all those different things. But now they come in and they get the victory, but they only have now one half in a series where they were supposed to have Ben Roethlisberger and Drew Brees. That's a big break, and so now they're 2-0. They have a chance now with no Drew Brees out there. You know, Teddy Bridgewater they can't sleep on because he's a pretty good backup quarterback and a guy that eventually could be a starter. But I think that right now things should keep getting better week in and week out. And Russell Wilson has been amazing.
Really?
29-35 for 300 yards. That's incredible.
Let's ask a totally unfair question after only two games, because you are the Doug and Wolf NFL insider, so you'll be able to handle the difficulty of this question. When you look at Gardner Minshew, Josh Rosen, Kyler Murray, everything that's going on, I'll even throw Kyle Allen in there for Carolina, and of course Daniel Jones in New York. Out of all the first or second year quarterbacks, when we're talking to you in week 17, who's going to have the best year?
That's a great question. So you're talking about the quarterbacks this year. I mean, as far as statistics, it's going to be in Arizona without any question, because I think Kyler's going to put up great numbers. I don't know if he's going to be able to have the wins. I'm still stunned that Minshew, a sixth-round pick coming from an air raid offense. I'll tell you what this is going to do. This is going to get Mike Leach a head coaching job next year.
Really?
Oh, I thought about it too, Johnny.
Well, think about this. I mean, you got Luke Falk starting. Okay,
yep.
He's starting for the Jets. I mean, now you have Minshew playing great, and now you got the air raid offense that's going to be putting up yards, and we'll see if it puts up points. I think it's going to get Mike Leach a head coaching
job. You know what's interesting about that is we had Mike Leach on, and he was talking about Gardner Minshew.
Yep.
And the fact he was talking him up, saying the fact this kid really has not been given the opportunity to go out and start, to him was mind-boggling.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing to hear you actually say that.
I never thought of
it. But I'll tell you the other thing. How about this weekend? You have 17 quarterbacks that are going to be 26 or younger. 17. You know the last time that happened?
No.
1987, week 3. And you know what was going on there?
What?
A strike. They were replacement players.
Totally got me right there. I went back to 1987. I was like, wait a minute now. That was my third year in the league, and that was the strike.
Yes. It was the strike.
Wow.
Yeah, so you had all replacement players out there. So this is going to be the youngest group of starting quarterbacks you could ever see.
That is crazy. Hey, great to talk to you.
Antonio Brown. What is the absolute latest that you're hearing about Antonio Brown right now?
It's starting to look bad because this is still going to take a couple weeks. Now, you think about that. You know, you have to talk to as many people as you can talk to. And with SI and USA Today already having investigative pieces that talk to so many people, it's going to take a couple weeks to be able to get through all these people. But, you know, he just did a thing, according to SI, where the there was another person that the painter who said that he came out behind her naked and all this different stuff. Supposedly he's been texting her, and the texts haven't been real positive, and so that is a violation. And so he continues to put himself even more in a position where I think he might get the exemption, but it's going to take a couple weeks.
You know, Johnny, thank you so much, man. Say hello to Pat for us,
okay,
will
thanks.
You please?
Great to talk to you. There's the Doug and Wolf NFL insider who joins us every Friday, 7 o'clock. And that was amazing how low he put the Cardinals on the Ramsey sweepstakes.
Yes.
Just said there, that's just not for them. We'll talk to the general manager of the Arizona Cardinals coming up at 7:45, and we'll ask him, was there anything really there? Any meat on the Jalen Ramsey bone for him to try to become an Arizona Cardinal? Coming up next, let's take a look at the matchups that will define the weekend on Friday walkthrough on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. I just did, I don't know, a little research project, quick math, which really is hurtful, and I tweeted it out. If you take the D-backs record against Milwaukee and Miami this year, it's 5-9. If you take Milwaukee's record against Miami and Arizona, it's 10-4.
Oh, boy.
That equals a five-game difference. In the standings right now, Milwaukee has the last wild card. They're up by five games on the Diamondbacks.
Ding, 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 ding.
Ouch. What we do on Fridays is just like the players. Except none of us have to run. It's Friday walkthrough when we look at the matchups that will define the weekend as Maloney has scoured through all kinds of games, all kinds of matchups, all kinds of players, and pitted coach versus coach, player versus player, team versus team. We react on Friday walkthrough.
This weekend's biggest football matchups.
Biggest football matchups.
Let's go! Let's go! Let's go! Let's go!
Doug and Wolf's Friday walkthrough.
So we're going to start it off with Ron Rivera versus the media.
Oh. Who wins?
I'm going to say that it's going to be the media because everyone's looking at Ron Rivera right now. We all know you're on the hot seat. John Clayton was just talking about it, as a matter of fact, and you walked out. It looks like Ron Rivera is cracking just a little bit right there rather than just talking about what everyone wants to talk about. Is Cam Newton actually going to play? I think the media wins ultimately.
But the thing with Ron Rivera, and I want to be actually on Ron Rivera's side. I have no problem with the way he handled it because he went at it and said, listen, guys, we got this, we got this. And he gave them three or four chances. And he said, okay, that's it. You guys aren't moving on from it. But I also agree with John Clayton that that's a guy that understands good things have to happen and they have to happen quick or you're not the head coach of the Carolina Panthers next year.
Cam Newton versus Father Time.
Wow.
Father Time has already won.
I'm not ready to go there yet, even though he is wearing a scarf right now, Basin Onions. That is an indicator that this could end badly for Cam Newton. There's no doubt about it. That this suddenly is signaling a change in Cam Newton, a change that ultimately will end his career wearing a scarf. I have no... I'm being a little facetious here. But honestly, I've never seen anything like it before in my life. Something's wrong with Cam Newton. So I'm going to say Father Time eventually is going to win.
I don't think it's eventually. I think he's done.
David Johnson versus David Johnson.
Oh, boy.
David Johnson versus Dirty Dave. We need Dirty Dave to appear once again, right? We need the guy that was tweeting out a lot of the crab shots of him screaming, right? Oh, getting ready to... We need Dirty Dave to run the ball, in particular in the red zone, like Dirty Dave.
Yes, definitely. I'm always going to have that, you know, mentality that it's going to be a breakout game.
This has to be a breakout game. David Johnson, you need to reestablish what you can be. Right now, you're just a running back. You are not even remotely close to one of the top three or four players at your position. Bring it this week.
Josh Rosen versus being the Dolphins starter.
There is no player in NFL history that's had more crap thrown at him than this guy. I mean, it is unbelievable. He is going to play for... Now, they're not historically bad. As bad as the Cardinals were last year, it's not the old Saints when they first came into the league. It's not the old Tampa Bay Bucks. They weren't as bad as the 0-16 Detroit Lions, stuff like that. But he will be the one guy that has played for the two worst franchises for a season in back-to-back years in NFL history. No one has ever had to go through what he went through last year and what he's about to go through now.
Boy, it's so tough. It really is. I mean, honestly, I've never seen a situation like it for a first-round pick. We're not talking about some guy.
Yeah, yeah.
That was an undrafted free agent quarter. We're talking about a guy that was taken number 10 overall. A first-round pick in Josh Rosen right here. The fact that he's actually played in a couple of games garbage time, completing 8 of 21 passes for 102 yards, 0 touchdowns, and 2 picks.
Ugh.
That right there, those numbers right there, I think have more to do with his first 2 years in the league playing for Arizona and playing for Miami than anything else.
And what I really feel bad about is if he goes somewhere else, I think he'll be damaged goods by that time. I don't see how you recover.
At some point in time, you have to wonder about it, right? The David Carr effect.
Yep, I agree.
For a completely different reason, but the David Carr effect nonetheless.
The Arizona Cardinals versus the Kansas City Chiefs for Jalen Ramsey.
You know, it was funny. John Clayton specifically said it's Eagles and Chiefs.
Yeah.
I totally believe the Chiefs are all in. I think Jalen Ramsey is going to be a Chief within the next 24 hours. But I don't buy that the Cardinals are number 31 in the standings for Jalen Ramsey. That doesn't make a lot of sense.
That's exactly how I feel about it as well. I do believe the Kansas City Chiefs are all in. They have to be all in.
Mm-hmm.
This has got to be it right here. They have to win a Super Bowl. Do they not, Andy Reid?
Doug Franz versus watching Michael Vick in the Super Bowl.
Or do you think more about the loss to the Broncos in the Super Bowl?
Wow.
The loss to the Broncos in the Super Bowl?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, enlighten me a little bit.
Listen to that. Here's what...
enlighten me a little bit.
If you didn't hear it yesterday... I superimposed a Michael Vick NFC Championship game loss to the Eagles and magically decided that was when the Falcons lost in the Super Bowl to the Broncos. And I think that was all the way back in the John Elway day, the last Super Bowl of John Elway, if I'm not mistaken. And I tell you, it was so stupid. But I do want to – the winner of that is not – me, of course, or Michael Vick in a Super Bowl.
Damn.
It's just a class of Michael Vick. Because just to say, enlighten me, and then to go on with a nice, normal interview, because you know there are plenty of guys that would have thought that was so disrespectful, like I didn't even remember the guy's career, which I didn't. But I was such a jerk move by me, and I'm so impressed with the guy that Michael Vick was to handle.
Well, based on him, I'm not going to throw stones, of course, when it comes to memory. I'm not going to throw any stones out there, based on him's number one. And number two, Douglas, it's good you can laugh at yourself. Well done.
Well, I don't know if I'm there yet.
Adam Gase versus quarterbacks.
Oh.
Adam Gase versus
He's already on number three.
Right now.
Because of mono. I think he broke a leg. I can't remember what happened to Trevor Siemian. Torn ligaments. Thank you, Bear. But... Don't sleep on Luke Falk. Don't sleep on Luke Falk. Now, when I say that, sleep on him this week when they play the Patriots. But
the Jets are bad.
I think that Luke Falk will not be the reason why the Jets lose. I think they've got a lot of other reasons why they'll lose.
It just reminds me, Basin Onienza, whenever the backup quarterback would come into a huddle, oh my goodness, would head snap up? Would they snap up? Because you were looking at the face of the backup quarterback. You were looking into the eyes of the backup quarterback, and all you wanted to see was some confidence, a modicum of confidence. That's all you wanted to see. Is this kid, is he going to be all right? Is he all right? Because right now, he doesn't look really good. And if he doesn't look good, run for your lives.
I think we learned a lesson, too, with Lev Bell. Anytime a player ever has a contract issue, trade him to the Dolphins or the Jets.
But it's amazing the way the quarterback and a backup quarterback will impact the team. Isn't that right, Adam Gase?
Mike Leach versus Lincoln Riley.
Ooh.
Oh, Lincoln Riley is, I mean, still right now. Lincoln Riley, oh my goodness, that's a shiny object, is it not?
Are we talking about, like, future NFL head coach?
Yep.
That's pretty original. I 100% take Lincoln Riley because I totally believe he's going to be the next head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. I have no doubt in my mind that Jerry Jones has been itching to pull that trigger. I think there's too many teams scared to hire Mike Leach as their head coach. He's perfect for a Lubbock, a Pullman, a place in the middle of nowhere where it's a small media gathering. You can't draw. I don't think it would go well for an NFL situation.
Can I just say that Jacksonville's a little kooky?
Oh, yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah, that's not
Jacksonville's
bad.
A little weird.
With Gardner Minshew already there?
Yeah, Gardner's already there, and all of a sudden you got Mike Leach walking in.
That's not bad. He's never sounded like that before, but that's not bad. That was good. That last one was outstanding, Maloney. Coming up next, how will the Panthers' uncertainty at quarterback impact the Cardinals' defense?
Yeah.
Thank you, Wolf. It's coming up next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Today's the day the Carolina Panthers are coming into town. And as of right now, We officially don't know who the starting quarterback is for the Carolina Panthers. Vance Joseph doesn't act like it matters that much.
Overall, it doesn't. You know, we obviously watched the tape, and you game plan for the offensive system that you're seeing. Obviously, the, you know, certain quarterbacks have certain talents that you have to prepare for, but overall, game plans are based on what they're doing offensively from a run game or pass game perspective. So it's not about one player. It's about the entire offensive scheme.
But these two players are so different. Yet, with the way Cam Newton is not running the football, you might ask the question, are they really all that different? Paul Calvisi has walked into the Auction Community Studios with us as well. And in 10 minutes, you'll have the exclusive conversation with the general manager of the Arizona Cardinals, Steve Keim. I know, Wolf, you reject this. I'll say it again and let you reject it. I think the Carolina Panthers have a better chance of winning with Allen at quarterback than they do Cam Newton. And that's not a shot at Cam Newton. That's just looking at 0-8 and the injury history and the scarves. There's so many things going on with Cam Newton, both on and off the field. He's just not right, in my opinion. And I'm not saying Kyle Allen's great as an NFL quarterback. I have no idea. I just believe, I already know that Cam Newton can't win NFL football games injured, hurt, the way he's playing, and I think he needs some time to rest, and then I'll believe in him again. I'm not rooting against him. I just don't think he's ready right now.
Well, they're definitely going to run the ball more with Kyle Allen at the quarterback than they would if Cam Newton were actually
at the quarterback. That makes sense,
yeah. They're going to run the ball more. They have to do that, right? They've got to keep Kyle Allen in a three-dimensional balanced offense. They have to, where you run it, where you throw it, and then you use the power of play action to throw the ball, in particular when you've got Greg Olsen healthy and ready to go. Knowing that the tight end has hurt the Arizona Cardinals in the first two games. You got to believe they're crafting a game plan around the ability to run the ball and then use play action to hit Greg Olsen.
Cam is no longer, at least not this season, not through two games where he's only run it five times. There's no way that he's that multi-threat quarterback. You know, he's third all-time in rushing for a quarterback in NFL history already in his career, but he's not that guy.
Right.
Even if he does play, he's not a threat to run. I mean, he is not Lamar Jackson. He's not. There is no threat of him actually getting to the second level and making anyone miss. And
with his current injury.
The current injury. There's just no chance.
Right.
And so, you know, to Doug's point, we've been saying the same thing all week, that if you put him back there, and whether it's also a byproduct of the shoulder and his throwing mechanics and the analytics that are missing 15 open receivers in that Tampa game, if you put Cam back there and he actually goes, then I do like the Cardinals' chances. Absolutely.
I think Christian McCaffrey, and I'm only talking about active players, not all time. I think he's a great player out of all the active players now. With a healthy Cam Newton, I think he's an elite player. I think the vicious
great
threat
player.
Of a mesh point between those two, am I allowing Christian McCaffrey to run it? Am I a 6'5", 270-pound quarterback that's going to run it? Or am I going to throw it?
Yeah.
That is so much of a so difficult of a defense to stop those options. And McCaffrey is so much tougher than his size shows.
Yes.
That I think that is a vicious weapon. But if it's just McCaffrey and a rookie quarterback, I'm not saying you take it easy by any stretch of the imagination, but I think it does diminish just how great McCaffrey really is.
So, Paulie, I want to get this right. You think the if Cam Newton were to play, the Carolina Panthers have a worse possibility of winning the game? Is that what you're saying? They have a lower possibility of winning the game as opposed to Kyle Allen?
That's how bad he's been, honestly. I mean, you look at some of the numbers, you talk to some of the guys who watch some of the film on him and just his inability to deliver the ball with accuracy.
Wow.
And honestly,
you're taking a guy that has one start under his belt?
It's less about Kyle Allen. It's that Cam Newton has dropped so far below the mean right now that
he's played two games this year. You know what I mean? And I know he's worn a scarf. I understand that.
He has no touchdown passes. He has the pick. He's completing 56% of his passes. He's 31st in passer efficiency rating. He has negative 2 yards rushing on just 5 attempts. And on those 5 attempts, he's fumbled it twice. Wow. He's a mess. He's an absolute mess.
And analytically, this is where it really got my attention. Analytically, they have abilities through film to say, here's where the ball's supposed to go. And then if you go 18 inches away from that, that's considered an off-target throw.
Yes.
He has 25 off-target throws in 2 games, more than he's ever had in any 2-game stretch in his career.
Yeah, exactly. And that's one of the reasons why as well, they said the same thing about Kyler Murray and the fact that he's got a ton of bad misses as well. While he's got the most attempts as well in the National Football League after 2 games. So the analytic thing right there, just watch the tape for the most part, right? It's a body of work that we're looking at here. I understand they're 0-8 in their last, 8 games with Cam Newton under center. But I can tell you right now, you know what? It's not just Cam Newton that hasn't played well. The Carolina Panthers have morphed. It's one of the reasons why Ron Rivera is actually on the hot seat right now, because it's not just Cam Newton. It's the entire team. And I would say defensively, start there. They're not that tough, shut you down, grinded out defense that they once were. As a matter of fact, Ron Rivera last year called them stagnant. At the end of the season, said the defense was stagnant. It's one of the reasons why he's taken over the defense. So there's a lot of problems, and it goes well beyond Cam Newton.
Not denying that.
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, it's Christian McCaffrey. If I'm drawing up the defensive game plan, if I'm the Cardinals and Vance Joseph, he's 1, 2, and 3 on my grease board in terms of importance. When you talk to some of the linebackers in the Cardinals locker room, they compare him to Alvin Kamara. Just the ability to combine the rushing threat with the receiving threat, and almost everything now goes through him, sort of like the Saints do with Kamara. That's what the Panthers do with Christian McCaffrey. And when you had Tampa containing him to 56 total yards, the Carolina Panthers were doomed when you combine it with Cam's performance on that Thursday night game.
Join Kevin McCabe and AZ Preps Live this Saturday from 9 to 11 at the Chick-fil-A just on 44th Street and Indian School Road in Arcadia. You'll have the chance to win free Chick-fil-A for a year, tickets, and other prizes. Visit the events page at arizonasports.com for details on the Chick-fil-A High School Football Roadshow Series. Coming up next, Chandler Jones, contract restructuring. How come? Is that a little foreshadowing, Steve Keim? The exclusive conversation with the Cardinals general manager. The only place you can hear it is with Doug and Wolf next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station. Cardinals GM Steve Keim. Keim time. With Doug and Wolf. Presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert. We are Santan Ford.
Friday at 7:45, we've got an exclusive conversation for you to be able to hear with Steve Keim, the general manager of the Arizona Cardinals. And Cardinals are taking on the Carolina Panthers, home game number 2, week number 3. Paul Calvisi, Ron Wolfley, Dave Paschal have the call right here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Steve, good morning. How you doing?
Good morning, guys.
Steve, really appreciate you joining us in your time, of course, this morning right here. Can you tell us about Chandler Jones and the restructuring of Chandler's contract and why you did that?
Well, to be honest with you, Wolf, we were under $1 million from a cap standpoint. So, and it's not anything that that we haven't done before, and it's something, an exercise that a lot of teams do year in and year out, and it's just to create some flexibility. There's been a number of injuries that we've incurred in the preseason, and you know, when you have injury replacements and all those sort of things, you just want to make sure that you have some flexibility moving forward throughout the season, and it also gives you the ability to extend any players in the future that you that you're excited about. So I wouldn't read anything into that conversion.
You know, everybody's reading everything into that conversion, right?
Well, Well, again, we've done it a number of years in the past, and a lot of other teams do it. So I know it's good for talk radio and content, as we've talked about before, but again, I wouldn't read anything into it.
So it's funny you say don't read anything into it, because in an Adam Schefter tweet, he put right after the Chandler Jones extension, the Cardinals are interested in Jalen Ramsey, but don't think that they're really high on Jacksonville's list. Was that fake news? Did you talk to the Jacksonville Jaguars?
Hey, this is no different from the NFL draft, and I know you love to ask me those questions, but as you guys know, I mean, anything that I would say about another player under contract would be considered tampering. So any interest or lack thereof interest is something I can't discuss.
You know what? That's fair, and I can't imagine how fired up your wife would be if I got you fined. So let me let me take two steps backwards and say, when's the last time you called Jacksonville?
Oh, man. You guys are trying to Ron Rivera me.
That's pretty good.
Okay, talk to me about Taco Charlton. Why were you guys not interested in claiming Taco Charlton?
That you can't talk about that because he was on the waiver wire, and for him to be a Dolphin, that means we know you didn't claim him.
Well, again, anything that we would do, you know, acquiring talent, you know, we take a deep and you know, look into each player in the evaluation process, and we make a lot of decisions based on whether we think the guy is talented enough to help us or whether the guy fits schematically. So, if we did not do something, obviously, we didn't feel like he was a great fit.
We're talking to Steve Keim, who's great at dancing this morning, general manager of the Arizona Cardinals. When you know, some of the rumors that people like to throw out is you trading Patrick Peterson. But people just throw that out like it's easy. To ask you directly, is there a player in the NFL other than like Tom Brady or something crazy? Are you interested in listening to Pat P straight up for other players?
I would say this, we're not trading Pat, and that's something that we've been very consistent with, you know, from Michael to myself to Coach. You know, I think that when you look at the kind of player Pat is, and I think arguably the best corner in the National Football League, you know, all you have to do is say, does this make our team better or worse? And I think to lose someone like Pat Peterson would make us worse.
Kyler Murray threw 2 weeks, Steve. What are your thoughts on him?
Well, I mean, you know, there's definite room for growth like any rookie, but I think that we've seen some flashes of why he was the number one pick. You know, I think not only the poise, but, you know, when the lights have come on, it's not too big for him, especially when we've been in situations where we've been down and he's brought us back. You know, I think that that's a true indication of a you know, a quarterback that has all the necessary things you look for, whether it's mental toughness, leadership, poise, and then his ability to make some of the throws that he's made, I think, has been outstanding.
There's always going to be things you learn about somebody now that there's no way you knew about that guy when they were in college. What's something that's impressed you about Kyler that you didn't know when you drafted him?
I would say this. I think all the great ones are hard on themselves. So whenever Kyler has made some mistakes so far, he doesn't point fingers. He's not an excuse maker. And I think he's one of his own toughest critics. And I think that's been impressive to me because I see that whenever you are humble and you're hard on yourself, there's a real chance for growth through self-evaluation. And I think that the way Kyler has handled things and the way he's taken ownership of certain mistakes, I think that, again, is a testament to the kind of player he is and the kind of person he is.
Steve, the other day we were talking to Michael Vick, and Michael Vick is, you know, one of the most explosive quarterbacks in the history of the National Football League. He was talking about the fact that no coach ever told him not to pull the ball down and run. No coach ever told him to do that. Is that the same deal with Kyler Murray? Are you guys telling him, hey, listen, we it's okay if you run. Pull the ball down and run. We got no problem with that. Is there any governor on him whatsoever?
No, I think it all comes down to instinct and opportunity. And when you have a player like Kyler or Michael Vick who can beat you with their legs, as well as their arm. I think that you let them play. Obviously, you want them to play within your system, but at the same time, when there's opportunity to make plays that are game-changing plays with your feet, you know, you got to give them the free rein to do that. But there's no doubt that it's exciting to have a guy who's a dual threat like that, especially, you know, Doug mentioned it yesterday, I think, of how exciting Vic was in that championship game.
So deserved.
There it is, the kick right to the
so
cradle.
So deserved.
How's that taste?
So deserved. I
hey,
accept,
Doug, we all make mistakes.
Yes.
I accept that wholeheartedly. Steve Keim, General Manager, Arizona Cardinals, joining Doug and Wolf this morning. Since you re-signed and restructured, or I should say extended, David Johnson, are you getting everything out of David Johnson that you believe you can?
Well, I think David would be the first to tell you that that he's left some plays out there. And, you know, there's no doubt that I feel like he's still going to have a very good year for us. You know, being in situations where in the first two games we've been behind, it's put him in a different situation where, you know, we're throwing the football quite a bit more. And I don't think there's any secret to have more success as a team. We have to develop a run game, and we have to establish, you know, that factor. So I think that David's best football is certainly still ahead of him, and I think that he's up for the challenge. So it starts this week, and again, we have to run the football as a team more effectively to have success.
Yeah, Steve, the red zone, does it concern you at all, the lack of production in the red zone right now?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's, you know, it's obvious whenever you're kicking field goals like we have, that's not good enough. And, you know, it starts up front with the offensive line, as well as every facet. And Cliff's even talked about the play calling and the things that, you know, he's in that growth period as well. And he's understanding the NFL game. And I think he's done a fantastic job for the most part. But again, you know, when you get the ball down on the, you know, in the red zone, you got to finish. And, you know, for us, again, just like I said, running the ball effectively, you know, scoring 7 points when we're in the red zone is going to be huge.
I don't know if you're going to tell me, don't read into it, but with Wolf's questioning and your admittance, hey, red zone's an issue, I couldn't help but read into running backs and tight ends a major focus of people that you worked out this week. Is that in relationship to finding who's out there and maybe who can help in the red zone?
No, we work out players every Tuesday, and there's a number of reasons why we do that, but more than anything, it's to stay ahead of the curve in case there are injuries or even guys that aren't living up to expectations. You want to, again, maintain that flexibility where you can make roster changes that help your team, and we're always going to bring in guys on Tuesdays to work them out, to see what they have. They're guys that we, you know, have looked at on film and we have graded very high, and they're on our ready list, and again, in case of an injury or anything else that happens, we're ahead of the curve and we have all the medical information. And if there is a change that needs to be made, we can make that quickly without hesitation.
So, Steve, Cam Newton. Everyone wants to talk about Cam Newton, right? Are you going to be okay if Cam Newton doesn't play on Sunday?
Well, we have to be prepared regardless. And you know, they still have a lot of weapons on offense, and it starts with Christian McCaffrey. When you watch the tape, you know, he's a guy that doesn't come off the field, and he can hurt you in a number of ways. You know, running the football with his foot speed and his explosiveness and his ability to catch the ball out of the backfield. So he is a guy that we have to focus on and make sure that if we're going to have success, we minimize his production.
Steve, kind of a philosophical question. With all of the drama in the NFL offseason through training camps and different players on different teams demanding trades, showing up at training camp in armored cars, everything that happened with the Raiders, what is your role in trying to keep that to a minimum with the Cardinals? How do you handle that, and how often do you want to take chances on players that other people label divas?
Well, every player is its own unique situation, and that we look into and we talk through. And if we are going to take a chance, it's something that, you know, Michael and I discuss at length, Coach and I discuss at length, or all three of us discuss at length together. But, you know, the tough thing about it all is as a society in general, I feel like we talk too much about the negative things, you know, the things that aren't going well. And we don't talk enough about the guys like Larry Fitzgerald, you know, guys that are pillars in the community and are great players, and at his age, what he's doing. And it's unfortunate. But again, you know, today's day and age, a lot of it's reality TV, and we want shock value. But again, there are a number of great things that are going on in this league that I would hope that we could talk about a little more.
You know, Steve, you're 0-1-1, right? And yet there is an optimism about this team across the base, and I kid you not, talking to some of the people that are out there, they are encouraged. Are you encouraged?
Yeah, very. And, you know, it's unfortunate we're not in the win column yet, but I do feel like we've made a lot of strides this offseason in a lot of areas. But we still have a ways to go, and I've no doubt that we're heading in the right direction. But we have to come in and take one day at a time and roll up our sleeves and get it done. And that starts, you know, with me and you know, coach and obviously the players that we have had in the locker room. And I feel like the one thing that I've been very excited about is the fight that our team has shown. I know we have a very good group of guys in the locker room who are committed, who want to win, who want to work hard. So to me, again, the chemistry in the locker room is so important. And I think that as some of these young players continue to grow, we're going to have quite a bit more success.
Hey, good talk. Thanks for coming on. We appreciate
Thanks,
your time.
Steve.
Talk to you next week.
Thanks, man. Talk to you soon.
There's Steve Keim, general manager of the Arizona Cardinals, joining Doug and Wolf every Friday at 7:45. Coming up next, Steve Keim says, listen, we talk to all kinds of teams, but why did you restructure Chandler Jones then? That's coming up on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.